In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, I encouraged everyone to read Father Sergius Halvorsen's reflection on Palm Sunday. I can't tell you how deeply impressed I was with what he wrote there. So simple, so direct, so easy to understand, so perfectly on target. It's a reflection that we should reflect on ourselves. Father Sergius points out, in effect, that on one hand, we today, in the United States of America, have greater freedom than anyone has had in the history of the world. But in ourselves, we are still not free. We are, in so many ways, just like the people who greeted Jesus on Palm Sunday. They knew that he had a divine authority, a divine power. They knew that he could overcome the powers of this world. They recognized him for who he was, and they were right. They were not mistaken. But in our freedom, we too, like they, are oppressed. We are not oppressed by the Roman government and the taxation of the Roman government. We are oppressed by things internally. So even though we have an external political freedom, we are still bound in exactly the same way that they were bound. They did not realize that the real source of their oppression was not the Roman government, was not the powers of this world in that kind of sense. It was oppression by sources of power over us within ourselves. We today are oppressed, as Father Sergius says, by the stress of economic difficulty, economic fear. We are oppressed, some of us, by pain in our bodies. We are oppressed by bondage to things of this world in one way or another that we have turned to for solace, to help us to get through the difficulty of our lives. And each time we turn to something of this world, the oppression within us, the need for freedom from that oppression, grows. And so we stand together with the people of the first century who greeted Jesus as the one who could free them from all of these sources of oppression. And they were right. But even though they recognized him, they had not the ability to understand that the root of their bondage lie within themselves. Father Sergius says that when we realize that we are oppressed, we want to go out and we want to fight the enemy. And that is exactly as it should be. But they are confused about who the enemy is, as we are in our own time. There is confusion everywhere as to what the cause is of our oppression. Some people say it's the government, just as they did in the first century. Some people say today it's corporations. Other people say there are people in our society that are not worthy of freedom. People who deviate from the norm, sexually or in some other way, and people turn against them. People like St. Mary of Egypt, as she was before she repented. Her problem lie within herself, and our problems also, our sources of oppression, lie within ourselves. In Jesus Christ, we have the one who is not oppressed within himself, who has freedom within himself. The one who is fully God is also filled with our humanity. He is as human as he is divine. He is the one fixed point in the universe for a human being, struggling with the chaos roiling around inside of them. There is only one fixed point. It can't be something of the world. It has to be something fully human, but at the same time, fully divine. There is no other alternative other than him. He is the only fixed point for a human being in the universe. If we turn from him, we fall to the mercy of the chaos of a world that is not held together by the one who created the world. Jesus was tempted by all of the things that tempt us. The battle that he undertook for us on our behalf doesn't begin on Palm Sunday, when he finally chooses the time and reveals himself by raising Lazarus from the dead and then presenting himself, challenging the powers of this world. He has already challenged the powers within and has been doing battle against them from the beginning. Just after he was baptized, he went out into the desert, up into the mountains, and he was tempted by Satan with all of the things that bind us within ourselves. Physical strength that can be gained by eating the foods of the world, power and authority of the world, wealth beyond imagining. All these things were offered to him. They were the small things. He conquered each one of them on our behalf. And when we unite ourselves to him, we can conquer them too. To all of those temptations, he said, as he said to Satan himself, "Begone." Those things have no power over our humanity. That is the truth. It is only when we invite them into ourselves that they begin to gain an oppressive power over us. And that is what we need freedom from. During the past 40 days, we, like Christ, have taken a 40-day time in order to lead ourselves into a confrontation against those temptations. Unlike him, we haven't done so well. We tend to rely on ourselves, or not take the fast seriously, or simply feel as though we're going to do without the things that we really want in life for 40 days, and look forward to feasting upon them again after we celebrate the Divine Liturgy and bless our baskets on Pascha. And we long for those things, rather than longing for a life where the oppression and stress of our bondage to all of those things can be taken away. And so for 40 days we have done spiritual battle against those things. And as we reflect back and consider, how often have we made spiritual food in some way or another of those we love by anger, by oppression of them, by confusing them with the enemy that is the source of our bondage inside of ourselves? How often have we preferred the food of the world to the food of life that God gives us in himself? And so at this point, as we greet Christ entering into Jerusalem to confront the final enemy, the enemy that no one around him seems to be aware is the true enemy that stands behind everything, the enemy that stands behind all of our temptations to turn to the things of the world that then bind us and oppress us, death itself. And his last temptation, Father Sergius says, is to respond to the acclaim of the world. All of the people who recognize him for who he is, the one who has the power to change the world forever, but want to turn him aside from his mission, all of them offer him their praise, their adulation. But he stays fixed upon the goal, the place where the final victory can be accomplished, and that is the cross. And it is the same for us. Unlike those people of the first century, after our 40-day fast, we should have a level of consciousness about ourselves that they didn't have. As Christians, we should be able to know that it is not those things that we have fasted from that we really need. We shouldn't be anxious above all things to smell again that wonderful odor of the things that we have been fasting from after Pascha. We are hungry at this point. The whole point of the fast is to raise a hunger in us. A hunger not for the things of this world, but a hunger for the spiritual life that is seemingly beyond our reach and yet is completely within our reach. Jesus Christ has overcome the source of all of those temptations, and that is why we should welcome him by the holding of palm branches as the one who is the ultimate victor. He goes to destroy the power of death. But we must go along with him. Each of us in our own lives must destroy the power of death from within ourselves. During this coming Holy Week, there are ways that we can hide this from ourselves. As we listen to the readings and the hymns that are sung, first, during the bridegroom matins, we should reflect on the fact that our lamps are very close to being empty. We are not going to be able to burn with the light of the love of God, the light of the love of Christ, throughout the dark night of our lives. We know by fasting how we can gain that light, how we can build spiritual strength within us, not our own strength, but how we can build spiritual strength within us that comes from God by our repentance, from our love of the things of the world, by our falling into the temptation of making victims of others around us, when the real problem lies within ourselves, and by the spiritual effort that only we can make, we can fill our lamps with the love of God, so that the flame of Christ can burn within us throughout all of the difficulties, throughout all of the night times that we face during the course of our lives. And when we contemplate the betrayal of Christ, we can contemplate our own betrayal of him so often during the Lenten season, and even now when we look forward to something other than the life of the resurrection. When we listen to the reading of his sufferings on the cross, we can think, that is my cross. I belong with him, destroying the power of death. All of those things that oppress me, they can be put to death. He has already accomplished the victory. The alternative would be to come to the Holy Week services and see them as some kind of play, some kind of religious pageant that maybe we can observe from a distance and think to ourselves, poor Jesus, he is the victim. He is being beaten. He is being hung on the cross by the powers of this world. How evil they are. And we've missed the point altogether. Mel Gibson's movie of now quite a few years ago portrayed that misinterpretation graphically. But what he missed, and what we have the danger of missing, is that this man, this Son of God, Jesus the Christ himself, goes there in order to put an end to the oppression that all of us suffer. And if we suffer along with him in a death like his, a death to the things of this world that dominate us, the reward is our freedom from those things, because he has accomplished that freedom once and for all. And so, as we hold the palms of victory, let us look forward to sharing his victory on the cross, the victory of a life that has arisen from all of those temptations, from the fear and the threat of death, so that we can live life with the true freedom of God himself incarnate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.